No, she's good.
Yeah, right?
No, Mikey's coming.
Mikey's coming? Should I give him a minute, or should we just
start with that? I don't know, I'll stumble.
Sounds good. I told her in YU for Shabbos, and it's the cutest thing they have after Shacharis in the Beis Medrash. They have, like, all the little kids, like, 1,000 kids in YU, like, all these little kids, like, get up to the front table in the Beis Medrash, and, like, Rav Schechter was giving them, like, a Parsha shir. Yeah, and, like, the content was the exact same comment, well, the exact same content that he would have given to, like, guys in the Kollel. He's, like, starts off his kids, he's like, so, do you guys know what the Mishnah is? And the kid's like, yeah, that's, like, the Gemara. He's like, no, it's not the Gemara, it's the Mishnah. He's like, do you know what the Tosefta is? The kid's like, yeah, that's in the Talmud Bavli. He's like, no, but it's in the back of the Talmud Bavli. And then he's like, well, the Tosefta talks about Gnevas Das. And then he gives him, like, a two-minute shir on Gnevas Das. So he's like, do you know what Gnevas Das is? The kid says, yeah, that's, like, cheating on somebody on a test. Like, no, that's probably Gnevas Momon.
Did you ever see those, like, DCT commercials with the little kids?
No.
It's great. They're like, oh, he's going to ask, like, really intelligent questions.
I'm
like, yeah, I mean,
how
go for the
moon?
Well, no, but.
Right, that was this. It was the cutest thing. Then I told him afterwards, I was going to bring my daughter, but I didn't want her to embarrass all the boys who didn't know anything. So he said, that's really why we don't let women into the shiurims, because we don't want them to embarrass the men who don't know
anything. Is it all boys this year?
Yeah, I was like, all boys there. So, all right. Everybody have a chorus?
Yes.
It's not too bad if you don't. All right.
Actually, can I have one? I'm on the
right
page.
I think there are more in the base matters.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, there are more in the
base matters. Doing all right.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed your shear.
Nah, it's quite all right. Welcome back.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna wash my hands.
Yeah, take your time. What did you guys prepare? Did you prepare more the ani and the ashir sugya, or the what?
Yeah.
Or the nafkamina?
The ani
ashir. Yes, we could start with ani and ashir, and then we could go back to the nafkamina of chutzam lacha gruhi. Does that sound better?
Yes.
Great. Alright, so we're gonna start with Ani and Ashir, and then we'll get into Hotsam Lacha Guruhi, the Nafkamina of practical ramifications. Okay, so what do we know about the Ani and the Ashir? Rachel, what do we know about them?
Well, we know that one's outside and one's inside.
So one's outside and one's inside. So the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph gives us both cases. Right? It's a Shabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba Bifnim, the Shtayim Shehin Arba Bachutz. There are two that are four cases inside, and two that are four cases that are outside. So what's the distinction between the inside and the outside? That seems to be a distinction between Ani and the Ashir. So why do we need that? Why do we need both cases? And now there's a case of Hotza and Hachnasa for the Ani, and there's a case of Hachnasa and Hotza for the Ashir. So why do we need both? So what does Tosos say? Malacha Gura. Since there's something wrong about the Malacha of Hotza, so you need the Mishnah to tell you every possible case. So we go out of our way to do the Ani and the Ashir. Tosus also points out that not only does the Mishnah go out of its way, but the Psukim go out of their way. According to Tosus, the reason why you need two Psukim for Hotza is because you wouldn't know the case of the Ani without the Ashir, and you wouldn't know the case of the Ashir without the Ani. Let's just read that for a second. Tosus di Ramaskal Pasha Baal Bayis Tosyado. Khan, you want to read?
Sure.
Tamalari.
Tamalari, am I sorry for not to be charged with the Ani without the Baal Bayis?
So you wouldn't have learned one from the other, or vice versa. Good. That's Tosas Shita. So you need two psukim, one for the case of the Ani and one for the case of the Ashir. Now we pointed out when we introduced the sugya of Hotza that there's, even if Hotza is a malacha gruhi, there still has to be some intuitive mechayev. There has to be some maisa that's critical for obligating you on Shabbos. So according to the Habmin of Tosas, that Hotza is a malacha gruhi, right, what is that mechayev? Let's say Hotza is a malacha gruhi because it's tchila for shuyos, because you're switching from one rishus into the other rishus. So there still has to be a reason to distinguish between the case of the Ani and the case of the balabayis. So I would have said it's a malacha gruhi. I wouldn't know Zrika, I wouldn't know Moshe, because those are stranger cases. But But there has to be some conceptual difference between the Ani and the Ashir, or else why would you break them down into two cases? Right, there was a case of Hutzah in the Mishkan, let's say. Or there's a Gzeres HaKasav that talks about one case. But why would I assume that's what that the relevant information of that case is limited to the direction of the Ani or the Ashir? Why not just generalize and say what's critical is the Chilah for Shios? I like philosophers always point out that, you know, you have these statistics about the, you know, the every president, every third president who was born on a Tuesday will die in office, something like that. Right? And so, oh, so shouldn't you project that information because it's a true statistic? Point is that you assume that the birthday of the president is irrelevant information. Right? So why over here are we assuming that the Ani and the Ashir is relevant? Who disagrees with Tosos's application of the Pesukim? Which one of the Rishonim? Ramban, excellent. How so?
Because he thinks that there's only one pasuk.
Excellent. Ramban thinks that you only need one pasuk for Hotzah, and it would seem that that pasuk will teach you both the case of the Ani and the case of the Ashir. So he's denying Tosos's, seems to be denying Tosis' distinction between the Ani and the Ashir. So one pasuk is sufficient to teach you both. The truth is there are two different deos in the Ramban here, right? Do you see that? The Ramban quotes one Yesh Omrim. What does that first Yesh Omrim do with the two pesukim? We can look on page one here in the sources. V'yesh Omrim d'lo tzrichi trei krai. So not only is the Ramban saying that you don't need the two psukim to give you the case of the Ani and the Ashir, Ramban saying that had you have had two different psukim, you would have had to count the case of the Ani and the Ashir as two separate avos malachos. It's a very big chiddush. At least according to Tosfos, so you wouldn't have known each case without Gzeres HaKasav, but now that you do know both cases, so they're both just applications of the one malacha of Hotzah. According to the Yesh Omrim and the Ramban, if you had two psukim, we would have had to establish these two cases of Hotzah as distinct avos malachos. Then the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel would have had to say there are 40 malachos. Right? It's very strange. So there's something significantly different between these two, such that they would constitute two different avos. So those seems to be two extremes. According to Tosos, it's all just an application of Hotzah, Ani and Ashir. According to Ramban, if there were two psukim, there'd be two separate avos. In between, we have whose position? Who has a bit of a in-between view? Tosos Rosh, according to Ben Yechiel, how so? So how is Tosos Rosh going further than Tosos? Tosos also said that you need two psukim to tell you the different aspects of Hotzah.
He says that there are two avot, but they're both Hotzah.
Does he count them as 40 though?
No.
Okay. Right, so this is a little more, that's why it's in between. On the one hand, he's arguing, like the Ramban, that there are two psukim, against Ramban there are two psukim, but now that there are two psukim, they establish that you're chayiv shtayim, you're chayiv two chatos, if you do both hotzah de'ani and hotzah de'ashir behalam echad. Right, normally, let's say you do bona four different times, so you're only one halama, so you're only going to be chayiv one chatos. Because every av is a mechayiv in and of itself, and you're only chayiv once per av. Hotzah of ani and ashir, so it's different from every other av malacha, you're chayiv twice, chayiv two chatos behalam echad. But yet, it only constitutes one title of an av malacha. It's fascinating. Structurally, it's the same as what we were suggesting a couple months ago, that you could have one iser of losase kol malacha for all 39 avos malachos, one shame iser. But yet, you could say that each av malacha is like a different mode of violation. And that was the structure that we saw earlier in the year, as opposed to the people who thought that each av malacha is a different shame iser. So here we're saying there could be one shame iser of Hotzah. It's one shame iser called Hotzah. It's only counted once in the Mishnah 9 Gimel. And yet you're chayiv for the different kinds of violation. So you're chayav once for the violation of hotzah dani, and a second time for the violation of hotzah d'asher, even though it's one shem isser of hotzah. Whereas according to the Ramban's Yesh Omrim, that distinction couldn't exist. The moment you say that there are two psukim, you have to acknowledge that there are two separate avos malachos in the Mishnah. Good. So what is the difference between the Hotzah D'ani and the Hotzah D'Asher? Who starts to describe their differences? So let's look in the Ramban. After he quotes the Yesh Omrim, third line in the Ramban, the Pesim and Aleph. Alright, you want to read it? With the Kakash Lecha? Third line in the Ramban, right in the middle. Kakash Lecha.
Ela shehu tameh hilchach la'olam ha'ma'achati l'gamre.
So Ramban is bothered by the fact that what? That in the Gemara in Shavuos, which mentions that shem tuma'achasi, I think Gemara is bothered, why would the Mishnah quote one case of two different cases of tumas mikdash as two different cases? One's a case of halamas tuma, one's a case of you are tameh, and you touch something that's kodesh. So you're metame kodshim. Another case is a case where you're tame, and you walk into the mikdash not knowing that you're tame. So the Mishnah says, why do you have to count those as two separate cases? Shem tumah is achasi. Right? All of tumah is one shem iser. So Ramban says, well, our Gemara doesn't ask that over here. Our Gemara is fine with the distinction of ani and ashir. It's just a Shabbos tam shein arba, and the Gemara never challenges it. The Gemara doesn't say, why are we counting them twice? So what's the Ramban answer? Why? Avahacha, fifth line, four words from the end.
Avahacha ha'il ushtei otzad heim b'shnei inyanim tartei chashivi.
Ooh. All right, these are two different kinds of hotzah.
The choshkin.
Mm-hmm.
She'yesh li hitchayev al hotzad ani ha'achnasad ba'al tabayet.
Okay, so again, shederecha adam limshoch laatzmo, v'hi hamalacha chashuva etzlam. How's the Ramban characterizing, yes, the paradigm of hotzah? Derecha adam limshoch laatzmo, v'hi hamalacha chashuva etzlam. Ramban's saying. He's explaining why the Gemara is not bothered by the distinction of Ani and Ashir. Why does that make sense, that distinction? So what's he saying? He's saying because there's one case of Hotzah that makes more sense than the other. Derech Adam Limshoch La'atzma, which means that most cases of Hotzah are cases where you're bringing an object to you as opposed to pushing an object away from you. Right? So if there's one case of Hotzah that's the case, it's bringing objects towards you. So in our Mishnah, which case would that be? So that would be a case, you have two cases. Remember, you have Otsah and Achnasa, and you have Ani and Ashir. So which two cases would be cases of Meshicha La'atzmo?
The Ani, bringing it in, and the Balabai.
The Ani pushing, the Ani pushing. Is outside.
So then the Balabai taking.
Right, so the Achnasas Balabais would be Moshe La'atzmo, and Otsah is Ani. So those would be, let's say, the paradigmatic cases of Otsah. And there are like more tafel, more ancillary cases of misira, or maisa sila, where you're pushing an object away from you. So, according to Ramban, the real mechayiv of hutzah is meshichas hachefetz to you. take a look at the Rashba. You'll see the Ramban phrases it more in statistical terms. Derech ha'adam limshel chla'atzmo, the way people usually pick up items is by bringing them towards them. And v'hi ha'malacha ha'chashuva eslam, and that's significant to people. But look at the Rashba for a second. The second Rashba on page 2. Where's the important line? I mean, it's the first Rashba on page 2. What's his Lashon, Rachel? Right, so the fourth line in the Rashba on page 2, top Rashba. These two cases of Hotza are different and distinct from each other. The Hotzah Sa'ani, which is where he's pulling the object outside to himself, that's more significant. Shemoshech la'atzmo. And that's Eino Doma Hotzah Balabai Shemo Tzimino. So there's a fundamental distinction between pushing an object away and pulling an object towards you. What's the nature of that distinction? Now, even the Ramban and the Rashba have different formulations. Is it about Derech Ha'adam, like a statistical rule, or is it about what's considered a more Chashuv Hotzah? Right, which one's a more significant action? But what's the basis for that distinction? So for the Ramban, maybe I understand. It's okay. Derech Adam Lim Shel Chlasma. Is that really true? I don't know. Is it really true that there are more cases of Meshicha than cases of Siluk? I don't know.
So could the Ramban be saying that that's because it's Chashuv? Like he doesn't.
Could be. It could be that he's reducible to the Rashba. Could be. But even for the Rashba, what would the rationale be? Why is Meshicha more significant than Siluk? Why is taking an object to you more significant than pushing it away? Okay, is that true? I mean, I thought the real case in the Mishnah is they were taking the object from their house and giving it to the Gizbar. So it seems like the whole thing was happening. And they don't cite Mishkan as the rationale. They cite Malacha Chashuva. So what could we say?
You're acquiring.
What?
You're acquiring something.
Oh, maybe it's like an acquisition more, right? So maybe that's true. So take a look just for a second on the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Gimel. Mikey, we're explaining the difference between Hotzav Ani and Hotzav Ashir. Why the Mishnah feels that they're significant enough to list them Kishayim. So we see that some Rishonim are distinguishing based off Meshicha versus Maisa Siluk. Pulling an object here is more significant. Look at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis for a quick second. Deborah, you want to read?
Sure.
Yeah, at the bottom of the page. Oh, I'm sorry, I gave the wrong Mishnah. What do you know? He was holding in Masechah Shabbos. Where's the Mishnah of being motzi the mace as a malach Hashem svicha legufa? Is that on the page? Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. Motzi etzim.
Oh, this is the mace. It is that you want.
It is.
Yeah, she just. It's the second part of the Mishnah.
I gave you the right Mishnah, great. Tzadi Gimel Beis, you're right. Go on. Because that's a big chiddush. We'll get to that later when we see when we talk about the poskim on Hotzah Malach Gruhi. When it comes to Hotzah, for some reason, let's say you carry out a kli, which is definitely kashir enough to be chayiv, but all you're interested in is taking out the thing that's inside the kli. Say like a little nut inside a kli, and you carry it out, so you're pater. Because the thing that you're interested in is pachas mikashir, and we say the ikar is poter satafel. That's very interesting. Do we say that in other malachos? I will discuss in a minute. So go on. So if you carry out a dead body in a bed, so you're chayev.
Okay.
Right, so those are cases because they become chashuv in their own right. So Rabbi Shimon says you're potter for the case of the mace. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon poter. Afilu b'meis shalem. Even if you carry, let's say you have a dead body inside a building, and you carry out the entire body, so you're potter. T'habim melacha she'en tzricha legufa. V'chol melacha she'en tzricha legufa. El l'salka me'alav. Habim melacha she'en tzricha legufa. So the reason why taking out a body outside of a house is considered a melacha she'en tzricha legufa is because all you're interested is in getting it out. So the hutzah is not necessary in and of itself. So this is an extreme case. And we pass it like Reb Shimon. It's machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Melacha she'en tzricha legufa chayiv. Melacha she'en tzricha legufa potter. So we pass it like Reb Shimon. Melacha she'en tzricha legufa is potter. So you're a potter for taking out a mace. Because just a mace is siluk. You're not interested in the hutzah for constructive reasons. Like the mace smells, or you have to get it out, because they're kohanim, whatever it is. So that would be an extreme form of a ma'isa silah. So it could be, like Rachel is suggesting, that specifically a constructive hotzav, where you're bringing items to you, that's enough to l'chayiv. A hotzav, a ma'isa silah of getting rid of an object, in its most extreme form, it's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, and it's more tempered and mitigated form on daf beis, where it's still part of a constructive process, so then you'll be chayiv, but you need a separate gzeiras hakasuv to tell you that you're chayiv for that case. Maybe that's what underlies the distinction of the Rashba. You don't like it?
I just don't get why you connect it, because the word silik applies in both. It's clear, it's very clear that the reason that we're poter silik is because it's a malach hashem and tzricha legufa. So,
yeah, but even if it's less, why is it malach hashem and tzricha legufa? Because la malach es machsheves.
Right.
It's not as constructive a malacha.
Yeah, but in our case, on bet, it clearly is a constructive, right? It clearly is a constructive.
Well, let's see, the Baal HaBayis. The ani puts his hand inside. The Baal HaBayis is giving him some food. All right, so the Baal HaBayis is really, let's say, the ani's outside, and the Baal HaBayis is giving him food. So the Baal HaBayis puts his hands outside. That's a ma'isa siluk. Baal HaBayis is just interested in getting rid of the food now.
Right, but
so it's not a malacha she'en tzricha legufa because he's still interested in giving it to the ani. But his action is just getting rid of an object. Yeah. It's clearly not as extreme on as right. Tzadi Gimel because you're chayiv.
Right.
But you're chayiv in a weaker sense because you need a gzeiras hakasuv to tell you that.
Right.
So I'm using the extreme example just right. as a paradigm for
right.
for ma'isa silah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's exactly the same.
I see
case.
What you're doing. I'm just you're assuming that the silah itself is important here. I would say the silah is not important. Just
well,
that
in this
it happens to be that silah is the way that you is the form that.
But with respect to the Baal HaBayis. Right, the action of giving the tzedakah to the ani is far less significant than the action of the ani taking the money from the Baal HaBayis.
Is that true?
I would say so. According to this distinction, I would say it's true.
Right.
So that would be one way of explaining Meshicha versus Silak. How else would you be able to explain it? So take a look at the Pnei Yeshua has a fascinating read on this whole case. It's on page 3. So he understands that the distinction between the ani and the ashir is not about a ma'isa siluk versus a ma'isa meshicha. It's not about direction of where your hand is swinging. He has a really creative read on this whole back and forth here. Page 3, Pnei Yeshua, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Here, skip to the... Okay, let's start from the beginning of Pnei Yeshua. Tema l'ri. Hamaitzarch l'misni tarti. V'nira l'ri d'lo avagamrinan hotza d'ani mi balabayis. V'lo balabayis m'yani. Tos says you wouldn't have known one case without the other. L'chora asa divrem k'divrei nevias. Dekima d'lo yadinan shum tam l'chalek bein ani v'ashir. V'afilu hochi etzdarech l'misnayu. Imkein bevadai dekama mini v'inyani hotza as havamatzi l'misni tuva d'lo yadinan chad me'inach. Says, I don't know how Tosus read this into the Mishnah. If you want to say that Hotzah is a melacha grui, then they should have to tell us every instance of Hotzah. And it would have to be the Mishnah would have to give us all its extensional applications. But that's give us literally every case of carrying objects. So Tosa says, oh, the only distinction here is Hotzah, is Ani and Baal HaBayis. V'od, mi gara me hachnasa, di alfinan me Hotzah, mishum svar amalia yulei malia fuke. Where's that Gemara? Where do we see that? Ayule and Afuke. What's the source that Hachnasa is Aser? Svara. The Gemara and Sadi Vavim Beis said it's a Svara. Hotza is taking an object out. Hachnasa, Mali Ayule, Mali Afuke. What's the difference in going in and going out? So the Pnei Yeshua says, why should I need one pasuk for Hotzah da'ani and Hotzah da'ashir, and yet I don't need two pasukim? I need a pasuk for each of those, but I don't need a separate pasuk for Achnasa. Achnasa is all of a sudden intuitive. Why is Achnasa more intuitive than Ani and Ashir? At least Ani and Ashir are both cases of Hotzah. Who actually touches on that tension between the relationship between these two cases of Hotzah and the relationship between Achnasa and Hotzah? Tosfos Rosh. Turn back to page 1 for a second. Tosfos Rosh on that base. V'Rav Yechiel miParis hikshe lo lichtov alachad kra v'tahave ida chotza tolda deha chotza. Let's just list one case of chotza, and we'd extrapolate the second case of chotza as an extension of the first case. Lav miyam rinan hachnasa tolda dehotzai. After all, we say that hachnasa is an extension of chotza. Kol shekein kavachomer delahave chotza tolda dehotza. If we could have something that's different shame, if achnasa could be an extension of hotza, kol shekein hotza da'ani could be an extension of hotza da'ashir. So Tosfos is telling me I need two psukim for ani and ashir and one pasuk for hotza achnasa? That's exactly what the Pnei Yeshua is touching on. Okay. Look at this. On Tuesday we're going to talk about all the differences in hotza and achnasa. But you have to read that distinction in light of ani and ashir. So let's go on. Kol shekein hacha diika svari mali hotza da'ani hotza da'ashir. Uvevadai de lo matzinan lefarish deyesh lechalik bein pshitos yad da'ani lepshitos yad da'ashir. Like, why in the world did you distinguish between the ani sticking out his hand and the balabai sticking out his hand? The ikal meimar deshayach yoser lomer diyad batel legabir shusayachar ol shusar abim. We'll see later on that the Gemara has this issue about a person's hand being batel to the rishus. You'll see, like, for example, a person's hand is within 3 tefachim of the ground, so the hand is bottled to the ground. And you consider the object to be on the ground, not on his hand. So it's like, maybe you would have thought that it's more intuitive that a hand is bottled to Rosh Hashanah Yachar or to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Pnei Yeshua doesn't like that. So don't tell me that that's the distinction. So what is it? Blah, 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 okay. V'lechorah hayanir lefarish. So basically, it's like 10 lines and down at Pnei Yeshua. V'lechorah hayanir li lefarish deha. Last word on the line is deha. Deha debinan shrei kray la'ani la'ashir. Hayne mishum dehotza da'ani v'achnasa didei hu letzorech atzmo. Lahavi teref lebeso. The distinction between the ani and the ashir is not about the direction of the hand movement. It's about the utility of the malacha. The ani is the purpose of the malacha for the ani is for his own benefit. The pasuk of the man is telling you they went out to get man for themselves and they kept it. That's a real serious malacha. We'll see that a lot of the cases, a lot of the malachos in the Mishnah are listed kifi seder sidur de pas. And you start with the process of harvesting, of planting, and then harvesting, and then baking. So the Pnei Yeshua says that what's the final stage of the Sidur, the pas? Not the afiyah, but it's bringing it into your home. That's really the final stage. V'hainu mamash kod lokte haman. V'avash, sadeva. Da'af agav she nigmru kol malachos hatvua bistade, ha'ikar chaser lachniso lebeso shehu gemar malacha. From the person in the house who's giving the food, that's not a malachas machsheves for him. He's just getting rid of things that are in his property. So therefore, I'd have a havmin as sochet aydech hamin lo lichayiv alav mishumach yitztarach idach kra to tell you that you're chayiv. So what's the distinction of the Pnei Yeshua? It's not about Meshicha versus a Maisa Siluk. It's about the role of the two people in the interaction. The person who's benefiting, he's doing the Melechas Machsheves. The person who's giving, he's not doing the Melechas Machsheves. So Kodai Dechamini, you wouldn't be Chayiv. You need a Gzeir Sakasa to tell you that you're Chayiv. Okay. So it happens like this. According to the Ramban and the Rashba, so the two cases that go together are the cases of Meshicha. That means the hotzah of the bala, the hotzah of the ani, which is the meshicha la'atzmo, and the hachnasa of the balabayis, which is the hachnasa la'atzmo. Mashiach Alatzma. According to Pnei Yeshua, the cases that go together are not at the similar action of extension versus contraction. According to Pnei Yeshua, it's the role of the giver versus the taker, regardless of whether it's a Maisa Mashiach or a Maisa Siluk. Because remember, the Ani initially, the way that Pnei Yeshua learns the case, the Ani is standing outside, he has a kli in his hand, so he puts the kli inside. He's holding it in his hand. That's a Maisa Siluk, but it's for his own purpose. Right, he gives his kli to the balabais, and the balabais then fills it up with food, and he takes it back out. So according to Bnei Yeshua, even the maisa siluk of the ani could be considered a melachas machshava, since he'll be benefiting from it. And according to Bnei Yeshua, similarly, a maisa meshicha of the balabais could be considered not a melachas machshava, because the balabais isn't benefiting from it. That's what comes out of this discussion over here. If you look at the Ritva in Shavuos, you'll notice that he just...
Sorry, so then is anything Malacha Machshava for the Baal Bayit?
What?
Is anything for the Baal Bayit Malacha Machshava?
It doesn't seem like it. Not in the... I mean, there might be other cases, like maybe if the Baal Bayit is like getting something delivered. But it... Meaning for the Rashba and the Ramban, so the Ani and the Ashir is just to describe who's inside and who's outside. For the Pnei Yeshua, Ani and Ashir is describing who's benefiting. They're really two different reads of the Mishnah, even.
Right, so, but then he says that the significance is that whether you're benefiting from it or not.
Right. That's what the Pnei Yeshua definitely says. It's a big chiddush. Nobody else says it. Look at the Ritva on page 3 at the top. The Ritva in Shavuos Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Let's take a look. You'll see that he has a different characterization. Oh, one second. But first, look on the bottom of page 2 for a second. The Ritva before that Ritva. The Ritva in Shavuos has a different characterization of the distinction between Ani and Ashir.
Wait, sorry, I just have a question before that.
Yeah.
How would you explain the case, the Sila case, of the Ani putting the clay in, bringing the clay, like taking the clay and bringing it into the Shidur of the Baal Bayit according to the Rashba, right? Like
Maisa Sila.
Yeah, I'm saying you're like when I was at when you explained Maisa Sila, like, you're saying it's a Maisa Sila. Like what's the significance of Maisa Sila? Because I think you use similar terms of, that the Pnei Yeshua seems to be using of saying like
right.
Oh, because it's
right, you're not benefiting.
You're not benefiting from it.
Right. So
then how do you explain the case of
right? So the Rashba wouldn't characterize it in terms of whether you're benefiting from it. He would characterize it in terms of like with respect to this action. So let's say the Ani has a kli, or let's say a case of, you know, the someone comes to your door for its tzedakah, and, you know, so he gives you a basket to put all the stuff in. So he gives you the basket. That's a ma'isa siluk of the Ani, but yet it's for his own
right.
Benefit. So Pnei Yeshua would say, let's look at it from a more like an eagle's eye perspective, and we'll say, you know what, the Ani is the one who's benefiting overall. The Rashba would say, no, you gauge it from in terms of this action. So in terms of this action, the Ani is getting rid of the basket.
Okay, and we don't look at, I guess, the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think it has some intuitive resonance when you think of it in terms of it's more constructive to, like, you know, pick something up and, you know, figure out what to do with it than to just, like, drop it on the table.
Yeah.
So the Ani is just dropping his basket inside. That's less constructive. He's like the newspaper delivery man. And you throw it at your door and hope it doesn't shatter a window.
But if you look at an individual act, and then how do you explain then the Baal Bayit, the Achnas of the Baal Bayit, which he would say is the Iker of the Chiyuv, because that's Derech Adam Nimshoch La'atzmo, but if there's nothing constructive in that individual
right,
act.
So you would say with respect to this action, though, so now the Baal Bayit has to pick this up, and he has to do something with it. Right? He has to fill it up with food or whatever. So in terms of the action, it's more constructive for the Baal Bayit. Even though in terms
because
of the benefit and its utility, it's less constructive.
Okay.
As I'm saying, it's not just two different ways of understanding the Malacha of Hotzah. It's understanding like the significance of what the Mishnah is trying to convey differently.
Yeah.
Like our Ani and Ashir are just ways of giving you a picture of who's inside and who's outside, or Ani and Ashir are roles
right.
in the transaction.
Right. But it's still interesting that, meaning, let's say, like, if you're, like, it's still more, more intuitively paradigmatic case, I think, for the Rashba would be the Hotzah of the Ani as opposed to the Achnas of the Baal Bayit, even though they're both under the category of Derech Adam and Shulcha Atmo. But it's interesting that he chooses to bring the example of Hotzah when he says, like,
for the Rashba?
Yeah. He says, Hotzah Ani Chashiva Shemo Shulcha Atmo, in the Hotzah Baal Bayit, but he doesn't compare.
Right, it could be that because Hotzah is always more of a paradigm than Achnasa.
Because
that could just be
more on
Right. And the Mishnah lists Yetzios HaShabbos and the Lashon of the Torah is Al Yetze Yishun Komo. So it could be that really that just they want to focus on Hotzah case and Manachnasa case, even though Balabayas is Hachnasa would be just as much a Ma'is and Mashiach.
Right.
Now you could say that means this is it's a little more pushing it, and we'll see the Rashba later on in a minute, according to building off Tosos, that it could be, although it doesn't work out so well. But it could be they have like a double distinction. Every case of Hotzah is more prestigious than a case of Hachnasa. And within that, a case of Hotzah with Mashicha is more significant than a Hotzah of a Siluk. So you'll have four different cases of four different values. You'd have Hotzah Mashicha, Hotzah Siluk, Hachnasa Mashicha, and then Hachnasa Siluk. Could be. We'll see if there's also an interesting Rashba later. We'll see if we take it seriously or not. On bottom of page 2, you have the Ritva's comments in Shavuos. How does he characterize the distinction between Ani and Ashir? Ani and Ashir there. Very interesting, by the way. I think the Mishnah, by the way, uses the lashon of Ani. Pasha da Ani es yad lefnim nasan lesoch yado shabal bayis. Notice that we've shown him. They translate that into an Ani and an Ashir. Very interesting. Translate Baal Bayis into an Ashir.
Oh. Relative.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Maybe it's like a machlokes, like affordable housing. It could be an Ani and still have still be Baal Bayis.
The rioters of affordable housing.
Back then. So the Ritva over here, so what does he say? How does he characterize this? V'im tomer v'halo shem hotzav achnasa echad hu mali ashir mali ani ad shiu ninu l'shtayim shein arba so yesh lomar de mishun de malachas hotzav achnasa de shabbos chidishu hutzru chatan l'shanas ba kol stadim she'efshar l'chayev al kulam shalo nemar ein l'cha ela makom chidusha bilvad v'achidish ha'kol ha'malachos tluyos ba'atzman v'zu tluyos b'rshuyos like we saw in the Ramban and other Rishonim. Fine. And then he says, second Ritva on page 3. Hilkach nichtav al yetzei darshina min al yotzi, mishum lehotzah da'ani, shulai ha'yisi savor, I would have thought, shalo chiv ha'kasav b'chidish hotzah, ela ke'en da'ashir. I would have thought the only case of hotzah which you're chayav for is the case of ashir. Whoa. Why would I have thought only the case of the balabayis? Hotzah is balabayis. That's a ma'isa siluk. It's where the ashir is pushing the object outside. Shekein derech rov ha'motziim lehotzi mershus she'omdim bo. Because most cases of Hotzah are cases where you're being motzi from Rishus, which you're standing in, into Rishus, which you're not standing in. This is the opposite case, meaning his paradigm of Hotzah is the inversion of the Ramban and the Rashba. It's a case of Maisa Siluk. But notice that the relevant information for him is not the Mashicha versus Siluk, it's a question of are you going, is the object being taken from the Rishus which you're in, or is the object being taken from Rishus which you're not in? So it's hard to understand why that would be significant, unless you just say it's purely a rov. Shkein derech rov hamotziim. In the Ramban, we noticed initially that the Ramban and the Rashba have different formulations. The Ramban said, derech ha'adam limshoch la'atzmo. And the Rashba said, the Malacha HaChashu, what was the formulation? The Rashba had a formulation of Hiya Malacha HaChashuva? That's it? Yeah, Malacha HaChashuva seemed to be more of a evaluation of the action. And now the Ritva is saying Shekein Derech Rov HaMotziim LeHotziim Yerushas She'omdim. So according to the Ritva, it's not clear if he just means that it's like a statistical point, that's the case of Rov, or he means that there's something more significant when you take an object from the Rishus which you're standing in and put it in another Rishus. But his case, which he treats as the paradigm, is clearly a Maisa Siluk. It's the Hotzah of the Baal Bayis. Like the Pnei Yeshua, for example, would never buy into that as the case of the archetype of Hotzah.
Sorry, when the Ritva says like about the two Sukim Shteyam Hotzah to Asher Min Astam, what does that mean? Like, doesn't that mean
at what?
The very end of the first Ritva.
Yeah.
So is he saying that they're both hotzad, like you think they're both hotzad asher, but really the aliyah tei pasuk, and then the next verse
is. I think if you were just reading the psukim, so you would have interpreted them both as a hotzah of the ashir, which is the shitaso.
Except that then he says,
right. No, but saying if I just had each, let's say I just had one pasuk, so I just said that's hotzah of the ashir. If I had the other pasuk, I would say, oh, that's also hotzah of the ashir. Now that I have both, I'm not going to say they're both referring to the same case. So it's the shitaso that he thinks this is real hotzah of the ashir. If you have both, so it must be that one's coming to teach you a new case. This distinction, the question is, so is there still an important distinction between Hotzad Da'ani and Hotzad Da'ashir? Right, where do we see reverberations of that distinction? So one interesting case that you see, just going back to a case that we saw, is the Gemara on Pei Zayin on the base. What do we have on Pei Zayin? So on Pei Zayin we had the case of Shabbos. What was it like in the first, one of the first Shabbosim that they had? So like Gemara said, maybe there was no Isser Hotzah, the way Tosos understood the case. There was no Isser Hotzah in that first Shabbos. We saw some Achorim were very bothered by this. How could you say there was an Isser Shabbos without Hotzah? So the Nitziv we saw answer that there was an Isser Shabbos, but there was no Isser Havara Dalet, there was an Isser Hotzah, but there was no Isser Havara of Dalet Amos Purchis Arabim. Hotzah and Achnasa existed, Dalet Amos Purchis Arabim didn't exist. Because you have to explain how Bnei Yisrael still traveled on Shabbos even though they were commanded on Shabbos. The Pnei Yeshua answered differently. The Pnei Yeshua said, no. It means that there was no Hotzah. There was no Isser Hotzah. But this first Shabbos wasn't really the first Shabbos that Bnei Yisrael were commanded in. The first Shabbos that we consider the first Shabbos was only once they were commanded with Hotzah. That's how important Hotzah is to Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer in Pei Zayin Amud Beis says, no. What Tosos means that there was no Hotzah is that there was no Isra Hotzah of the Baal HaBayis. There was only an Isra Hotzah of the Baal HaBayis. There was no Isra Hotzah of the Ani. So what happened is that it's true that they were commanded on Hotzah, but they're commanded only on the basic case of Hotzah, Baal HaBayis. But they were able to go outside their houses and take them apart from the outside and travel, because there was no Isra Hotzah of the Ani. So the Chassam Sofer sees the Chassam Sofer in Pei Zayin on the base. You have it on top of page 4. So the Chassam Sofer thinks that the distinction between Ani and Ashir is significant enough to say that when Tosos says there's no Hotzah, they mean there was no Hotzah de Baal HaBayis. Sorry, there's no Hotzah de Ani. There was only Hotzah de Baal HaBayis. That's considered there was Hotzah, but there wasn't Hotzah. It's a very subtle distinction. Right, the Netziv pushed it a little further. The Netziv said there was Isser Hotzah of Achnasa and Hotzah, but there was no Isser of Dalet Amos Purchis Arabim. Okay, these are significant places to draw the line in breaking up the Malacha of Hotzah. A more relevant distinction is that made by the Rashba to explain a problem that we touched on last week. And this will lead us into our discussion for Tuesday as well. The Mishnah and Daf Beis spoke about Hotzah, correct? And the Gemara said on Daf Beis and Beis that sometimes the Tana calls Hachnasa, refers to Hachnasa as Hotzah. Amar Ravashi, Tana Hachnasa Nami Hotzah Karile. Right? Sometimes Hachnasa is referred to as Hotzah as well. Fine. So that means that there are some cases of Hachnasa that could be mentioned in the Mishnah here. The Gemara in Tzadi Vav Mebeis said, oh, Hotzah is an Av, Hachnas is a Tolda. And Hachnas is only a Tolda of Hotzah. So a lot of Rishonim are bothered by the apparent contradiction. The Gemara on Daf Beis Mebeis, which says that Tana Karile Lahachnasa Hotzah, seems to assume that Hachnasa is also Hotzah, meaning it's also an Av, because it's referred to as Hotzah as well. The Gemara on Tzadi Vav Mebeis said that one's an Av and one's a Tolda. So aren't those contradictory Gemaras? So see, this we'll discuss on Tuesday, but some Rishonim say, depends which Amora you're referring to. Maybe it's Machlokas Amoraim. Some Amoraim and Dafbeis think Hachnasa is an Av. The Amoraim and Sariv Amabeis think that Hachnasa is a Tolda. The Rashba has a very clever solution to this. Look on page 2. Look 4 lines from the bottom of the first paragraph of the Rashba. Mike, you want to read it?
Yeah.
Vim Tomar. 4 lines, page 2, 4 lines from the bottom of the first paragraph of the Rashba. Vim Tomar.
4 lines from the bottom of the first paragraph. Vim Tomar. My. Uma.
Yeah, what's the strength?
Deotza, Mehachnasa, Dekari La'av, Ulahnasa, Dekari Tolda, Kevan Tarvayu, Habu Mishkan.
So it emerges, according to Rav Papa, so they're both avos. According to, let's see, Virava. It's go on, according to the Rava, the commentary. So maybe it's machlokas and the Gemara and that Bezim and Bez whether Achnas is not. That's what the Rashba is getting at. Okay, so he's acknowledging right now that Tzadi Vav and Mebez would be inconsistent with our Papa's view, because our Papa holds it's an Av. So go on, next paragraph. Oh wow! How are you going to tell me that he just told me that our Papa holds Achnas as an Av? So how could the Gemara, which says that Achnas is a Tolda, be consistent with our Papa? So what did the Rashba just do? He did something very clever. He's trying to explain how Tzadi Vav could be consistent with Rav Papa. So what do you do?
He explained the difference in the Gemara is by making the distinction between Achnasa Da'ani and Achnasa Da'al Bayit.
Meaning?
Achnasa Da'ani is... Hachnas de Baal Bayis is where we learn the Sfar and say Mali Yule Mali Fugay, right?
And therefore, so what comes out of the Rashba, the Maskana?
They are different. We have two different, sources for Hachnas de Baal Bayis.
Okay, not just two different sources. We know that there are two different sources. Remember, he's trying to explain she just wrote Papa on that. Yeah, Chana? Okay. More than that. Okay, but forget about what was in the Mishkan for a second. He's trying to explain, how could our Papa on that base, who holds Hachnasa as an Av, acknowledge the Gemara on Tzadi Vav, which is Hachnasa as a Tolda? He says, Yesh Lechalik. Depends which case of Hachnasa you're talking about. The case of Hachnasa Da'ani, that's going to be an Av Melacha. That's our Papa on Daf Bezman Bez. The case of Hachnasa Da'al Abayis, that's going to be a Tolda. That's a very big Kiddush. Meaning, if you just read the Gemara, you'd assume, okay, fine, so either Hachnasa is an Av, or Hachnasa is a Tolda. That's a Machlokas, fine, about the relationship between Hotza and Hachnasa. The Rashba comes along and the Rashba says that maybe Dafka, it depends on the case of Hachnasa. The case of Hachnasa is Balabayis, that's going to be a Tolda. Hachnasa Asa'ani, that's already going to be an Av. So that's a huge Chiddush, that there's an internal distinction between the Av and the Tolda of Hachnasa. But it's also a big Chiddush in that it seems to undermine what he said earlier. What emerges is that the Av Milacha of Hachnasa is a case of Siluk. The Tolda is a case of Mashicha. I mean, the Hachnasa is Balabayis, which is the Maisa Mashicha, where the Balabayis is bringing it to him. That's going to be the Tolda. The case of Hachnasa Asa'ani, where the Ani is pushing it away from him, that's going to be an Av Milacha. Very counterintuitive. Seems to contradict that what he said earlier, that the paradigm of Hotzah, if I only had one case, I would have thought it's going to be the Hotzah, it's going to be the case of Mashicha. Even though this is a case of a Sila. So we'll have to figure that out. But more importantly, just the fact that he acknowledged that the distinction between an Ani and an Ashir is so significant that it can make the difference between an Av and a Tolda. So we've seen like that so far as the following. According to Tosos, you need two Psukim, Ani and the Ashir, to tell you the different cases. They don't explain why, they don't give you a Svara. Rabin Yochiel mi Paris went further and he said, Ani and Ashir, it's one shame Isser, but yet you're chayiv two different Chatos. Against the Tosos, we say, of course, you only chayiv one Chatos. It's one shame Isser, you're chayiv Shtayim. Parallel to what we've seen, Lamanda Amar, that all the Lamatas Malachos is one shame Isser, and yet you could be chayiv different Avos, Rabbi Malacha. He's saying that distinction exists within Hotzah de Ani and Ashir. It's one shame Malacha, and yet you could have two separate Chatos for Ani and Ashir. The Ramban disagreed. The Ramban felt that if there were two different psukim, one for Ani and one for Ashir, you'd have to go much further. And you'd have to hold that you actually have two different Avos Malachos. And the Mishnah and Ayin Gimel would have to say that you have 40 Malachos, not 39. So therefore, since that can't be the case, Ramban says, no, you really only have one Malacha. And Ramban even holds that you don't need Lamaskana, you don't need one Pasuk for Ani and one Pasuk for Ashir, according to that Yesh Omrin. We have three different perspectives on the difference between Ani and Ashir. Ramban, B'Shem Yesh Omrim, Tosos Rosh, B'Shem Rebichim in Paris, and Tosos, and that page doesn't seem to distinguish. Then we saw an interesting distinction within the Chassam Sofer on Pezayin and the Beis, where he felt that in that Shabbos, that first Shabbos, maybe there was only an Isser Hotzah Balabayis, no Isser Hotzah to Ani. So clearly he felt that this is a relevant enough distinction that sometimes you'll have one Hotzah, sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll have one Hotzah, but you won't have the other. The Rashba Lamaskana seems to hold on Daf Beis that the distinction between Ani and Ashir is significant enough such that Hachnasa the Ani will be an Av, Hachnasa the Balabayas will be a Tolda. So Ani and Ashir could dictate Avos and Toldos. Then we saw different interpretations of the distinction. What's the rationale underlying the distinction? According to the Ramban and the Rashba, it's about Mashicha versus Siluk. According to the Ritva, it's about being motzi from the rishus that you're in contrast to being motzi from a rishus that you're not in. That's how the Ritva took it in Shavuos. The Pnei Yeshua reads the case very differently. The Pnei Yeshua understands the distinction between Ani and Ashir as a difference in terms of how much you're benefiting or how much utility this malacha has for you. He has a much broader view of the interaction of Ani and Ashir. According to the Rashba and the Ramban, it's determined by the action. Is this action an action in favor of the Ani, or is the action an action that's bringing something closer to you, or is the action one that's distancing and removing an object from you? Regardless of whether, more generally speaking, the object is one that's the mice is one that's going to help you or not. I think that's the general issue when it comes to Hotzah d'Ani and Hotzah d'Ashir. Okay. This leads us to a very important discussion about the relationship between Hachnasa and Hotzah. So both the Pnei Yeshua and Tosfos Rosh were incredulous that you could have a distinction, you could have Avos, you could have Hotzah and Hachnasa be regarded as an Av and a Tolda. But for some reason, you wouldn't have thought that Hotzah de'ani would be a Tolda of Hotzah de'ashir. Right, so why is the relationship between Hachnasa and Hotzah more intuitive than just two different examples of Hotzah? That bothered Tosfos Rosh and the Pnei Yeshua. So for that, we're going to have to look into the nature of Hachnasa versus Hotzah. But that's what we're going to talk about on Tuesday, and I'll give you marmakomos for that tonight. According to Tosos, this discussion also relates to Hotzah Melacha Gruahi. Because it's Gruah, so I wouldn't have known one case without knowing the other case. Okay, so we have three factors on the table. Hotzah Melacha Gruahi, and what does that entail? We have this distinction between Ani and Ashir, which the Rishonim discussed. And then we also have the distinction between Hachnasa and Hotzah. And we already saw some interesting discussion about the relationship between Hotzah, Hachnasa, Ani, and Ashir. And some interesting discussion about Gruahi and Ani and Ashir. The questions are all three of these questions related. Are they somehow contingent on each other? Meaning, could Hotzah Melacha Gruahi somehow be contingent on Hachnasa versus Hotzah? Is that possible? Yeah. Then maybe yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. So there's some achronim think that if you hold hachnasa as an av, then you hold hotzah as not a malacha gruahi. If you hold hachnasa as a tolda, in which case you recognize the distinction between rishis yachid to rishis rabim and vice versa, then you hold that hotzah is a malacha gruahi. So you could have people who believe that the description of hotzah as a malacha gruah is actually contingent on whether or not it's whether or not you understand Hachnasa is not. That's what we're going to discuss on Tuesday, Meretz Hashem. I'm just not sure when we're going to discuss the Nafkamina of Hotzah Melacha Gruahi. We'll figure that out. When we're going to do that. We'll see. Are there Nafkamina Lamaskana that shows that Hotzah is different from the other Lamatas Melachos? So are there properties that apply to other Melachos that wouldn't apply to Hotzah? For example, could it be that Chatzi Shir is going to be Aser in the other Malachos? Chatzi Shir will be Mutter when it comes to Hotzah. Could it be that for the other Malachos, you need the Malacha to be permanent? You need a Davar HaMeskayim. When it comes to Hotzah, there's never any requirement of permanence. What about Mekalkel? Mekalkel is generally considered a Ptur when it comes to the other Lamatas Malachos. Is Mekalkel going to be considered a Ptur when it comes to Hotzah? Or do you say that since Hotzah cares less about the transformation of the object, so Kilkel is not going to be a Ptur? Let's say throwing an object out of the window is destructive. So you'll say you don't violate Hotzah? What about Amir La'akum? Generally, we hold that there's an Isser to ask a guy to do a Malacha for you on Shabbos. Could it be that Dafka, when it comes to Hotzah, there's no Isser Amir La'akum? We'll see the Prima Gadim's discussion. Maisa Shabbos. Generally, we say that If a malacha is done by a non-Jew on Shabbos, so it's aser to be nana. You can't benefit from that malacha. So if I ask a non-Jew to cook for me on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to eat that food until b'chdei sheyasa after Shabbos. The amount of time would have taken him to cook it starting Motzei Shabbos. We'll see the Rashba on Kuf Lamed suggests that's true for other malachos, it's not true for Hotzah. Since by Hotzah there never is a transformation in the object, so there's never an Isser to be Nana from Meleches Akum. Because you don't view the guy as having done something constructive. So maybe you could be Nana from Maisa Shabbos of an Akum. Another Nafkamina that the Achronim raises is Shvisas Behema. Generally, if you rent your animal to a non-Jew, so you have to be worried about the non-Jew doing Melacha with your animal on Shabbos. Because not only is there a din that you have to rest on Shabbos, there's Shvisas Behema. So we'll see, some achronim think that doesn't apply to Hotzah as well, because of Melacha Gruahi. So if a non-Jew is taking an item to do, is taking your animal to plow his field, that's a problem. If a non-Jew takes your animal to carry things for him, let's say you own a trucking company, and you have to rent out trucks on Shabbos, maybe that's okay. Because it's not a full-fledged Melacha. Okay, so we'll just run through, on Tuesday we'll just run through the achronim that discuss the questions of Kilkul and Amir Lakum, just to get a picture that there are 11 or so Nafkamina Lamaskana, where Achornim and Poskim will invoke Hotzah Melacha Gruahi to tell you that a lot of the Klali Shabbos don't apply to Hotzah. And then I'll move on to the relationship between Hotzah and Achnasa. Okay? So I'm going to tell you now, so if I don't get a chance to email it out during the afternoon. So take a look at the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Aleph and Beis Amud Beis. You'll see that. That discussion in Rav Papa, that discussion in Rav Ashi, that discussion in Rava. What's going on Beis Amud Beis? Like, which Amoraim think that Hachnasa is an Av, and which Amoraim think that Hachnasa is a Tolda? Also, see Tosfos Dibra Maschil Milo Askinan on Beis Amud Beis. Why is, if you take the Lashon of the Mishnah and Ayin Gimel literally, of Hotzam Yershus Lershus, so is Hachnasa mentioned in the Mishnah and Ayin Gimel? Okay, so see the that Tosos and Beis and Beis, and see the Rashba also has a similar comment, but a quotation from Rabbeinu Tam, who learns that differently. Then look at the Gemara on Sadi Vav and Beis. You'll see that the Lashon of the Gemara there seems to imply that Hachnasa is a Tolda. So look back at that Rashba that we saw in Daf Beis, where the Rashba just talks about the relationship between Daf Beis and Daf Tzadi Vav Mebeis. Take a look at the Ramban on Daf Beis. The Ramban also has a lengthy discussion about the relationship between Daf Beis and Daf Tzadi Vav Mebeis, and the Ramban on Tzadi Vav Mebeis. And they're really two different questions. One question is whether Achnasa is an Av, and why Achnasa would be an Av. Second question is, even if you acknowledge that Hachnasa is a Tolda, do you assume that it's a higher level Tolda than other Toldos? And if it is a Tolda, is it the same level? I mean, you could ask that, you could phrase that second question in two ways. Is the Tolda of Hosa Hachnasa, is that different from the Toldos of Bone to the Ava Bone? And is the Tolda of Hachnasa, if you hold it to Tolda, different from the other toldos of Hotza, like Zrika? I mean, so it's an internal question within Hotza, is there a hierarchy in its toldos? And it's an external question to other melachos, is Hachnasa different from the toldos of Sharmach? So there you'll see Tosos Dibra Maschil Pasha, the same Tosos we've been reading on Daf Beis at the end, and Tosos Tzadivav Mebeis, Dibra Maschil Hachnasa. What does it take to become a tolda of Hotza? Svara, Mishkan, both one, discussion in Tosfos Daf Beis and Tzadi Vav Mebeis. Then finally see the Rambam in his Akdama to Perasha Mishnayah Shabbos. The Rambam has the strongest formulation of Hachnasa's relationship to Hotza. Just read his whole Akdama to Masechta Shabbos. He talks about Hotza and Hachnasa like three different times. And then compare that with the Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Shabbos. I think it's Parakid Beis. If Hilchos Shabbos, where he talks about the Avos Malachos, you'll see there are two gersos in the Rambam. Does Rambam say Hotza v'achnasa me'avos hamalachosi, or does Rambam say Hotza me'avos hamalachosi? Even if you have the gersa that it's just Hotza, when you read the rest of the Rambam, is it clear that the Rambam is talking about Hachnasa as well? He has an ambiguous question. He quotes Vayikal, and it's the Harei Lamarta shehava michlal hamalachos. So is hava kind of Hachnasa Hotza neutral, or is hava mean Hotza? So when you read that Rambam, in light of the Rambam Perashat Mishnayos, you have a very interesting picture. And then look back at the Gemara in Horios on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there had two girsos. Remember the Gemara was talking about being oker an entire guf versus a miktas aguf? So the two girsos there, whether being oker hachnasa without being oker hotza, whether that's considered miktas aguf or kol aguf. And how does the Rambam acknowledge that girsa in the Gemara at all? On Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in Horios. Okay, so that's going to be our discussion of Hotza and Hachnasa. And then from there, we'll see where we take it from there. Then we'll move on probably in the Gemara to Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, and we have some interesting non-Hotza Gemaras coming up. Okay, so maybe we'll begin a little bit with the Nafkaminas of Hotza Melacha Gruhi for a couple of minutes, then we'll do Hotza and Hachnasa. Good. Thank you. Thank you all for coming back. How's the break?
Is that first time we've broken?
Yeah. No, we didn't have one.
Oh, that's first time. Oh, thanks. We came back out on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back to you guys.
That's good.